Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Heather El Tapia, Prosperity Advisor. Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. It is the fourth Wednesday of the month, and every fourth Wednesday of the month, we have a specialty. We are going to be focusing on Meet the Author. Today, we have two special authors that are going to be on. We have Valerie Douglas, author of many online mystery, magic, and myth romance books. She is one of Amazon Kindle's best-selling authors, author of Servant of the Gods, which is a historical fantasy, The Coming Storm, Song of the Fairy Queen, Not Magic Enough, and Setting Boundaries, just to name a few, and her romance book, The Millersburg Quartet. You can go to ValerieDouglasBooks.com to get a complete listing of the books she's written as Valerie Douglas and as V.J. Devereaux. And there's also some book trailers and some good stuff. So we'll have Valerie on in a few moments. Our second guest today is Thel Robinson, T-H-E-L-L Robinson. He is an author of a trilogy based upon his journey and life story coming out of high school and hitting some rough times, which, trying to make a living for his new child and got into the wrong side of the business and law and what that journey did for him and what he's doing today to give back to society and create a new positive experience for him, himself, and his family. So you can go to CashmerePublications.com to learn more about Thel. But he'll be on about 2:30 today. If you want to participate in our online chat, all you have to do is log in to blogtalkradio.com/withinsights and go ahead and click on Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show and enter the chat room. You can make a profile and ask us questions. We'll be posting links and addressing those questions online. You are also welcome at any point to call in and be a guest questionnaire. You can talk to our guests on the show at 646-595-3440. Look forward to having a great show today. Just thought I'd take a second to catch up on some amazing things that are happening in entrepreneurism. We've talked over the last few weeks about a variety of different subjects. I've mentioned several times the Global Women's Summit. And I just want to give a quick shout-out to the September 22nd event that we're having for the Global Women's Summit in Charleston, South Carolina. I'll be on the panel discussing various key questions that impact women internationally so that we can take that data and present it to the United Nations. Trina Johnson is doing an amazing job organizing this event. She's got a great team. And I look forward to visiting her soon in Charleston to help with the progress of it. So, again, thanks for all your hard work, Trina. And I look forward to being out there in September and supporting you 100%. What I'd also like to share is, what's going on out there in the local community. People keep stressing the fact that there is, difficulty in getting sales and business and, money's tight. And I just wanted to take a second to, let you know that you, as a business owner, it's real important that you go back to your vision. Go back to your reason you started your business in the first place. Because when the bills are coming in or customers aren't, and you're feeling a little stressed out and limited in your ability to keep moving forward, please go back to why you started the business, whatever it is, if it's a restaurant, a massage business, landscaping, if you're an author, consulting, a home-based business like a network marketing organization, whatever it is that you've chosen to do as your career and your focus, remember why you got in. Look, stress and get back to your passion, because the passion's what's going to see you through during these difficult times. So it is important to, maintain that awareness of what got you started in the business in the first place. You know, if you don't go, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, if you're not having a good time and it's creating more stress in your life, reevaluate, take an opportunity to step back, look at how you can delegate some of the activities that you're doing so that it's not so much work. I mean, you know, there's some great opportunities to get interns out there, as well as, you know, other resources. There's community resources, there's chambers you can become a part of and network with other business owners, so you don't have to feel like you're on your own. It's real important that you take the time to connect with other people that are in the same place you are. They've had an idea, they were passionate about something, and they decided to, you know, get started with what you're doing. We're just waiting for our first caller. To interview today. So hopefully Valerie will be able to check back out and call back into the guest call-in line so Blog Talk can have her online, because I don't have you in our back studio to bring you onto the call. So go ahead and call 646-595-3440. That will get you in our studio queue. So not only could you be a future guest, but you could also ask questions to the guests that we have online. So again, just a little, you know, message out there to you business owners. If you're feeling overwhelmed or need more backup or support, please go to your local resources or connect with other business owners in your area, because I guarantee they would be more than willing to share their ideas, their struggle with you, and and give you some tips. So that was my message for the day. Let's see. Oh, exciting news on my personal life. You know, Abundance Video Marketing is the new company I started a few months back, and we use TalkFusion, which is a online video sharing platform. Has some amazing tools to get your message out to your community, to your public, to your customer, and build that network using video email. We also have live video conferencing, where if you're someone that has customers or clients that are not in your local area, but you want to maintain some sort of face-to-face communication with them, video chat is a really simple way to do that. You don't have to pay a lot of money like with GoToMeeting. As long as they have a webcam and a microphone, they're able to see you on your webcam. You can see them, and you can communicate. It's almost like you're in front of each other, very much like Skype, without the techie difficulties of having to download a certain aspect of software in order to run the program. TalkFusion is a simple opening of the browser and clicking, and you know, should be able to go from there. We're going to take a quick 30-second commercial and hopefully come back with our guests. 1 second.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com. Free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome back to the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, where we highlight women in business. Today's show is specifically focused on highlighting authors. And again, just to recap who our guests are going to be, we have Valerie Douglas will be our first guest this afternoon. And we have Sel Robinson, who will be on in a little bit. Valerie, are you on the line?
I hope so.
Okay, yay! I refreshed the screen. You know, it's fun doing the show every week. I learn a little bit more about how to use the back office and get things rolling. So, again, I appreciate having Valerie Douglas on the line with ValerieDouglasBooks.com. She's also with Alexandria Publishing. And she's pretty much been my go-to woman for questions for writers, for myself, for, you know, how not to get taken advantage of on the Internet. I think that's a big one. In fact, you've had a situation come up recently that, you know, you're welcome to talk about. But wanted to tell the audience briefly a little bit about yourself and your new project that you've launched.
Are you talking about Alexandria?
Well, Alexandria and redoing your books.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm redoing right now about half of my books. But the new one, the really great one, the cover for, I just ordered new covers for most of my books. One of the things that, you know, as with any other product that you have out there, is that you have to make sure that you're making that the image that you give is truly representative of what's inside of it. And so I had a cover on it that I liked, but it really wasn't conveying the right message to the readers. So I decided to hire a new cover artist to do the cover, and it is amazing. So that's my book, Song of the Fairy Queen. Right, it's a epic
nice.
Fantasy with lots of battles and you know, a big romance in the middle of it. And, you know, so something a little bit for everybody. But
and that's an e-book, correct?
That's an ebook, but it will also be out in print. Right now I'm looking for it to be released and available on August 10th, which will be my birthday.
Yay! Well, happy early birthday and congratulations. I'm such a sci-fi, mystery, fantasy fan, so I look forward to downloading the book when it's ready to go. Is it ready
well,
now?
You can download it in ebook right now, all right, but it's
okay.
Not out in print yet. One of the things about the way that the industry is changing these days is that, with the publishing industry that is that especially with independent writers like myself, we're finding that for us, the paradigm, which is a word everybody is learning to hate, but it still works, is shifting. It used to be that you'd release the print book and then you'd release the e-book. Even publishers now are starting to release them simultaneously. But we're finding that it works better if you release the e-book and build up readership and an interest and you get people talking about it. And then when you start getting people requesting to be available in print, you know, then you go out and actually go to the companies and try and then shift to the print option. Which
that
is
makes sense.
Yeah, and it makes, you know, it's actually more economical. It's more efficient because it's far easier to upload a book since you've already got it in Word or some other word processing program onto any given website. So the book is available on Amazon.com. Song's only on Amazon right now. But I've got books on Barnes & Noble, I've got books in Apple, I've got books in, and now we've got Kobo. You know, so that's a new vendor that's coming out, although that's primarily more international than national. So I am an internationally published author now.
That is amazing. So Kobo is another, like, ebook or like a download website?
It's another site. Pretty much, you've got to figure it as sort of the international version of Amazon. I mean,
oh, okay.
Amazon's international too, but Kobo really started out as basically more of an Eastern, like Japan and that area company. And so, but they've now expanded. A company bought them out and decided that they were going to, you know, open up into the ebook market because it's just so big and it's growing so fast. So that's become the one, and that literally just opened up this past week.
That's really exciting, and I appreciate you sharing that information because especially the fact that their origin is in Japan. Interestingly enough, I have a a co-director for the Global Women's Summit, who she travels and does 3 month stints over in Japan a couple times a year. And she's been doing psychic medium work for about 70 years. She's not that old yet. her whole life, but like 50, 55 years traveling and teaching. And she's got about 20 or more books, obviously in the old school, you know, the traditional hard print layout. And so this will be real exciting to share with her. Maybe that's something you and I can help her with, to get these up in ebook format on Kobo. And that
Absolutely.
Will help support. Yeah, this would be amazing.
No. It's and the thing about Kobo is, as much as I like Amazon and its Kindle program, and even Barnes & Noble's Puppet program for self-publishing is good, it can be a little bit daunting for new authors to try to upload, because they all come in different formats. But Kobo is so easy, you don't even have to think about it, and they assign it an ISBN number, an international publishing number. Basically, it's just a number assigned to the book to identify it as the book. And since they do it themselves, it's really, I'm going to slow down and start talking so fast. It's really,
breathe. It's okay. We got time. We got the time.
Yeah, right.
That's exciting. No, I mean, because we plan on doing a Global Women's Summit event in Japan, and I'm actually going to, if you didn't know, and it's probably all public libraries, but I found out at Worthington Public Library, there's something called Makogo or Malogo, where you go into the library's website and go to resources, and you can literally learn probably 30 different languages for free in an online format. And so I plan on learning Japanese. I don't know how well that's going to go, but at least I'll have some working knowledge before we go there next year and put on this event. So,
just concentrate on the essentials first.
Exactly. Yeah. Bathroom.
Yeah.
Clean water.
Mm-hmm. No, yes.
Mm-hmm. Kill where, it. I don't want it alive.
Where's my hotel?
Yeah, where's my hotel?
Always make sure you can ask directions.
That's true.
Huh?
I said that's true.
Yeah, especially in a foreign country, because all the signs are in Japanese. You're sitting there going, I don't get it. You know? So that could be fun.
Flashcard. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. So I think it's very interesting that the law of attraction and the way the universe works, that here's another resource that's Japanese-based that is going to be in alignment with some of the work that's coming forward. So this is really cool stuff. What else? I know you've got another project besides these, launching of the books and clarifying some of your vision with those. What's the other project that you've taken on recently?
Alexandria?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah.
I created the Alexandria Publishing Group largely because of the fact that one of the things that has sort of plagued the independent market has been a lack of structure and really direction and a drive for quality. The wonderful thing is that almost anybody these days who wants to write a book can write a book. That doesn't necessarily mean they should, but they certainly can. And you can get it published. I mean, there's a company called Smashwords, and you just upload the thing to Smashwords, and it'll get published to anybody you want, and your friends and family can order it from almost anywhere. The drawback is that not everybody really writes well. So what I wanted to do was create a group of authors whose quality I know and respect. And so I created the Alexandria Publishing Group in conjunction with my friend Kai Wilson. And the two of us, I mean, we've known each other through the indie author group, which I've run for over a year now, as a knowledge base for authors. But seeing the various qualities, I decided that what we really needed to do was create a group and a logo and a purpose that was going to focus on quality and professionalism. Doing, not just putting out a good book is good enough, but putting out a very good book. So we have editors on our group. We have cover artists in our group. And so we're constantly striving to try to improve the quality of our books. And that's another reason why I've been working on changing my covers and trying to get a more professional appearance to them to make sure that they really look as good as they possibly can. But, of course, you know, then there's also, you know, pitfalls. You want me to talk about that?
Yes. Yes, share whatever you'd like today. This is your moment.
Okay. The other part of the problem is, and the other reason why I created Alexandria was because of the fact that there are so many people out there who are preying on authors, and they are wreaking havoc. I mean, there's a number of very large companies, and one of them just recently was involved in a class action lawsuit. I don't know that I can actually talk about that here, but
sure.
But
just, I think the pitfalls and the warning signs and just the awareness that it is out there.
Yeah,
for
you
writers.
Always yes. For if you're a new writer of any age, right, and you want to publish a book, there are a lot of people out there who will be more than glad to take advantage of you. What you want to be careful of is people that really, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Never sign a contract until you know what's inside of it, right? And I see this happen all the time of these big companies that have these contracts that literally lock writers in for 2, 3, 5 years. So, and then with all these promises of all the wonderful things that will happen when their book gets published and that sort of thing, but the book never actually gets it, all they do is display it on their website. It's never actually available to the rest of the world. You know, and even the worst part about it is they charge exorbitant fees. And the silliest part about it is you can do it for free on Amazon. You can put it for free on Smashwords. They'll take a small percentage, right, of your profits, but it's a small percentage, right? We're not talking, you know, 70, they're not taking 70%, which is the standard even in the standard publishing industry. But some of these people are taking, by the time they're done, in fact, Penguin Books just bought one of the worst ones of the lot, and they actually publicized the fact that they made more money from selling services to their writers than their writers made selling their books.
Wow. And I mean, I had a client in the same situation. He signed like an insane 6-7 year contract where he wasn't allowed to produce his own book in any other place but through them at $6 a soft cover book. And the book was like less than 60 pages. And so, I mean, and they charged him probably $3,000 to $4,000 and were continuing to come after him to get more. So, I mean... It definitely is disappointing.
Yeah, and even you can also get involved even with people who appear legitimate. I always tell people to check. There's a website called Predators and Editors. If you just type that in, you know, on any search line, you'll get there. All right, I don't need to give you the whole directions, but it's a great website for finding out which publishers are questionable. But of course, first, somebody has to report them for what they're doing, right? Which, for many authors, is a difficult thing to do because it means that they have to accept the fact that they may have made the wrong choices, you know, and they may be paying the price for it at that point in time. And even I fell for one. Back in November, there was a new publishing company starting up. The owner of the company contacted me personally, was very gung-ho, very enthusiastic about my books, had clearly done his homework, at least as far as, you know, researching them. What I didn't know was he was a con artist. So the problem is, you know, that you can, you know, even if you're reasonably intelligent and you are well-versed in the industry like I was, you can still be taken in by people. So you do have to be careful. And just recently, of course, you know, it's another issue that we have is the issue of piracy.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because that's something, until I saw it, I hadn't really considered, where they actually took your whole book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's two different circumstances going on here, and it's two different ways of doing it. But, yeah, they actually took my book. It's actually still under my name. In one instance, they posted it on a website where supposedly the group that is doing this, advertising themselves as being freedom of the arts, right? They're making the arts free for everybody.
Hmm.
So what they do is they have on their website, you can either download it for free or right next to it, you can actually go pay for it on Amazon. I'm just wondering, you know, what they think they're accomplishing. But then, you know, and of course, how they make their money is they just put up ads and they get paid by the ad companies that you know, are linked to their site. They get thousands of downloads. And all they did was download my book, convert it through any conversion program. There's lots of them out there. And then they posted it up on the site, and I don't see a penny. And in the meantime, they're all sitting there laughing, thinking it's really funny that, you know, that the authors are complaining when they're just making the art for free. And by the way, since they donate some of their money to charity, our complaints and all our efforts to try to get them shut down are taking books away from poor children in other parts of the world.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how, it's really obnoxious. You know, I understand the idea that people want to be able to have access to the arts for free, but I'm still trying to figure out how they expect those artists to actually pay the bills and put the roof over their head. I'm actually doing
fairly well.
And why
wouldn't they come to you and say, look, Valerie, would you be willing to donate the proceeds of one of your books if we gave it as a free download? Like, ask permission. Like,
yeah.
You know.
I'm already committed. I'm already committed with one of my books, The Last Resort, which is a thriller, but it deals with domestic violence, not in the usual way most people think of it, you know, not in the usual poor, pitiful, scary girl can't be rescued and that sort of thing. But it's more of an action and adventure with some domestic. And I'm already committed to taking 20% of the proceeds from that book and donating to domestic violence charities. You know, So I don't have a problem with that, you know, but they didn't do that. What they're doing essentially is still stealing my work, and they don't realize that although the book that they particularly put up was, you know, is only 99 cents online, I make a good portion of that, you know, and if they sell thousands of copies, it still means that I'm not making that money, and they don't think about the month it took to write the book, to get it edited, doesn't count the cost of the cover art or the, you know, or to pay an editor. I all have to do all that out of my own pocket. You know,
let's
on the
talk
other
about
hand,
that for a second. Yeah, let's uh-huh. talk about the out-of-pocket expense, because I know everybody wants to be this glorified published author, whether it's traditional or non-traditional, and they think that's their instant ticket to fame, and some people just have a message they want to share. So, you know, if we're talking about, let's focus on indie, which is the non-traditional ebook format, ballpark-wise, not counting the time that it takes to actually write the book, what are, like, some estimated costs to get the book to the final version so that it could be downloaded to, say, Kindle or Amazon, so it could be sold to start producing? What do you feel like that average might be, range?
Well, you know, there's a couple ways that you can deal with it. I mean, you can actually do it very cheaply, all right? But the quality, of course, is going to vary, and that's one of the things that you have to consider. I'm very lucky in that, you know, for myself, I did have a background in art, so designing my own covers was possible. You still have to pay for the artwork that you use. And that can vary in price anywhere from, you know, $10, you know, for cover art, all the way up to, I think, I paid over $100 for, in fact, for the cover for Not Magic Enough. And that's just basically my out-of-pocket expenses. All right, then you have to talk about, well, if you do it the cheap way, you can probably find somebody at a local community college who would be more than glad to edit your book for you, but that's not really probably going to achieve what you want, because they don't necessarily know how to edit to keep your voice. They just know how to correct your English, all right? So finding a good professional editor is another thing. To do it properly, the least expensive of my covers cost about $100. An editor will charge, a professional book editor And there are varying kinds or copy editors and that sort of thing. But, you know, but basically, most editors will charge about $1 a page. Your average novel is going to be at least 200 pages minimum.
Yeah.
Right. So that's already $200 out of pocket. Some of my books are much bigger. Right. And if you figure 200 pages, well, actually you have to double that because most editors are actually, they have to make the spacing different so that they can put in their notes and everything else. And so they actually usually double space it, so it actually goes to $400, and now you've got a $400 bill. So now it's cost you $500 just to produce your book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you want it done properly. You want it done professionally. You want it done well. Right? And you can make the investment. Now, I usually tell people, you know, who are beginner writers, go into something like Smashwords. You can still make money on your book. The quality people anticipate is not going to be, you know, tremendously high, but it will give you a chance to earn a little bit of money, and you can then take the money that you work from that and work on trying to improve it, right? Personally, I'd really rather people, you know, start out from the beginning with as good a book as they can put out, you know, but that's, you know, for a lot of beginning writers, you know, finding $500 in the budget can be a little tough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes you can get into groups where you can negotiate exchanges or something like that, but for most people, it's if you really want to do the job properly, you're going to probably spend at least $500, just minimum out of pocket. Now, my really good cover, the one that I just got, that'll cost me $500, or I'm sorry, $400 just for the cover. The book itself is I forget how many pages it is, but it's probably going to, but it's, you know, coming at 400 and some. So now you're talking about, well, it nearly cost me $1,000 for that. You know,
okay.
So when these guys start, you know, they start giving away my books, they're, you know, they got the cover art. I mean, it's there. You know, they got the edited copy. It's there. All right. They're giving it away for free, but they're not paying me for any of this, for any of the expenses I made, that I took out of my pocket in order to be able to make sure that I put a quality product out there, you know. They feel that, you know, if you should do it because you love it, and I do, right? I adore writing. Writing is the most ecstatic experience you can have outside of sainthood, I think. For me, it's an entirely gestalt experience. I have an idea, I have this beautiful image in my head, and I want to put it down on paper, I want to share it with people, right? That is there, but I also still have to maintain a roof over my head, and I still have to eat, although I don't usually do that as much when I'm writing. That tends to go out the wayside. But that's the reality of the business. I mean, it's just how it is. Now, to a certain extent, piracy you do have to accept. I mean, and it's a truism in our industry. We all know it, right? There are thousands. There was a guy last year who was arrested from a website called Mega Upload, all right, who had made so much money. He owned a piece of property in New Zealand that they called an estate, and he had a castle on it, all right?
Wow.
They finally did arrest him for his piracy. And he's on trial, but he was making hundreds and thousands of dollars off of, you know, people's hard work by sitting at a computer screen and just, you know, downloading stuff that didn't belong to him, you know. Mm. And that's the reality.
And then
now,
selling
somebody,
it to other people?
I'm sorry?
Would he download and then post it and sell it to other people?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it goes on all over, you know. And they're constantly trying to shut down sites, but there's no real way to find them. And half of them, this guy was in New Zealand. This other site that borrowed Not Magic Enough, they're in Canada. Other sites are in, you know, places like the Ukraine. You know, I mean, it's like it's hard to shut them down because they're not in the U.S. All right, so you only have so many options to do. And now
go ahead. Go
I'm sorry. Okay.
Go ahead.
And now what somebody has done is they've actually taken my print books. I have two print books out, one of which is what they've done is they've taken them down off the website. I don't know whether they took the e-book copy and transferred it over or what, copied the cover down. And they're now selling the book, my book, with my name on it, all right, at a discounted price that's below the price I can get it printed for.
Wow.
And
so are they, is it print on demand then?
They're a third party. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to track that down. They're a third party vendor, and they're on Amazon, and they are selling my book for cheaper than I can afford to print it. Right, which means, I mean, for most people, you know, if they see the book, they see the third party vendor, they see the price there at $10. I guess there a lot of people are assuming I still get paid for that, but I don't know who these people are. So I'm now in the process of you know, getting new covers and everything else set up so that, you know, I can pretty much say this is the official legal copy. You know, anything else that you see out there is a pirate. So.
Well, we have Val Robinson on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Valerie, I would love for you guys to kind of meet via the web or via internet, I guess, cell phone. And
okay.
He is a brand new author. He has taken his life story and turned it around and written a book, not to glorify what his background is, but to, you know, share a message. And he's committed to doing some community action work at the same time. So he doesn't have an ebook format. So I was talking with him earlier about how, you know, you and I are kind of partnering to help people with that. So, you know, we can help him after the show or another point and see where his goals are with that. But, you know, I ran across him on Facebook. I love Facebook. That's how I met you. Well, no, you joined my Get Published Today group, my meetup group, which I should mention.
No, you came to my seminar.
I did, because you posted your seminar on my meetup group.
That's
so
true, I did.
Get Published Today is a meetup.com group. Anybody can join, whether you're local to Columbus, Ohio or not. We do a lot of web-based stuff. We do local face-to-face stuff. It's a great opportunity to, you know, network with other writers. My goal with the Get Published Today was to basically offer a platform for writers to get these questions addressed, some of what Valerie's been speaking of, get support, and more importantly, accountability to finish what they started. That was my big issue. Yeah, I finished a mini book, but I had to because I was in a contest. And if I hadn't had a deadline, I don't think I would have finished it. I never would have had anybody read it or edit it, let alone take it to the printers and print it and sell them around town for the last 2 years. So I'm still in the process of getting my book, when I get a moment to focus on me, which I need to do, you know, formatted and up on Kindle. And then, you know, get that up there exclusively for 90 days and then keep going. So I'm learning this as well. You know, part of being a public speaker is you have to learn to understand how to share your message concisely and read the audience. As an author, you have to learn all this back end stuff. So the two go hand in hand very nicely to help you get to the next level. And so I meet speakers all the time, and I say, hey, it's time to write that book. And then I meet authors, and I say, hey, it's time to book you some public speaking opportunities. Let's get your message out there. And so, you know, I enjoy both processes. And I know, Valerie, we talked, you know, typically writers are a little, you know, hermity sometimes. But for those authors that truly want to share their message and get around locally and you can make a good living as a public speaker and sell books. You know, that's really a good package if that's your goal. So I want to support you in that with Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, my prosperity coaching, as well as Get Published Today. So, Phil, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us. Meet Valerie Douglas. Valerie's going to stay on the line with us if she has time.
Sure.
So I wanted you guys to connect, and you know, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your background that you'd like to share, what got you to the place you are today, and then we can take it from there. So you're on.
Okay. My name is Thel Robinson III. I'm originally from Maryland, but as of now, I'm making Columbus, Ohio my hometown. I came up here in 1992 to attend DeVry University. after some decisions I made while being in Maryland. I had a four-year run as a drug dealer, and at the end, I ended up doing 7 years in prison for a crime I didn't commit, but that's the game, that's, you know, the consequence. Being in that seven-year bed made me very cold and hard, and when I was released, I only stayed free for 7 months and was convicted again with another crime by the federal system, served 6 years and 10 months. It was in that incarceration that I started my change, and I recall two of my family members suggested that I would write a book because I've been there and done that on every level of my life and with the stories that I know from the streets, and that's where I began this journey as an author.
Well, congratulations on turning things around.
No problem.
Definitely. Congratulations on finishing a book.
Well, yeah. That too. I mean, you know, that's the hardest part. As I was just saying, you know, I know you were on the line. You know, if I hadn't had the accountability of deadlines for this contest, I don't know. Well, one, I never would have come up with the concept, the 5 steps to abundance. I was working with clients trying to come up with a plan, and I had started writing a book, Energy Business, which was how I coach, but I didn't have any accountability. I didn't have a reason to go back and finish it. I'm an Aries, so I'm a good leader, I'm a good starter, but I'm not so always good at the finish. And so I definitely need people telling me to get stuff done in order to get stuff done. So with Get Published Today, I wanted to provide that platform, and it's been a great journey for me because I've met great people like Valerie. We've got some great authors and writers that are part of the group that share ideas, and, you know, so I encourage you to connect with like-minded people. I like to say like-hearted people. Because it will help you not feel so isolated. It'll, you know, encourage you along your journey and help get the message out. So why don't you take a moment to share with the audience what your message is with the books? What are you hoping that the person that reads the book or the person listening today would take from this opportunity?
When they read the book, not to be judgmental, because that same character that did everything under the sun is now a good, productive citizen, you know, here in Columbus, Ohio. So anybody that's out in them streets that's, you know, doing Lord knows what can be turned around. So the message is that anybody can change, but they have to be driven and prayed up. And
yeah.
25% of each purchase of the novel is going to a youth center. So, you know, God gave me the vision of a youth center, and he gave me the means to provide for it. So it's not about me blowing up to be a famous author, but it's about blowing up to provide this vision so that a youth center could be ran right and, you know, be a mentor in these streets on a level to meet the youth where they're at. Because it takes someone that's been there and done that to be very effective. Because a lot of people have good intentions on the youth, but if they can't meet them where they're at and be judgmental, then they won't be effective.
And that's what I learned from working with the other client that I was sharing with you. You know, it's a story of the streets, the story of the journey. And, it depends on what the views are. It's perception is key. So if you're watching a movie that's glorified violence from the hood and everybody's out there doing their thing and, you know, and then they end up either getting shot or making a lot of money or getting away, whatever the storyline is. But one thing I'm thinking of in the moment is there aren't that many, quote-unquote, mainstream movies out there that take the person from a decent kid. Like you said, you were, from your story, you were 18, graduated, found out you were going to be a father, needed money,
right.
Tried college. You know, I can understand the pressure of doing well in school, made a wrong decision, got kicked out of school, and you're left with what do I do now kind of thing, you know, and depending on how, and especially today, the economy, you know, people get out of situation school and they're like, I need a job, I don't know where to work, you know, nobody's hiring me, whatever that is, and you fall into quick money, and it seduces you, whether it's selling drugs or dancing or, you know, human trafficking or you know, not necessarily that you fall into that, but, you know, they do seduce young girls into escorting or prostitution because of the money. And your perception of life gets skewed because when you're, I always say it like this, you know, yes, like attracts like, but you aspire to the level of people that are around you. And so if you've had a driven force of succeeding and being above average, and then you're dropped into a pool of people that don't work harder anymore, and they're not trying to be better, and then they make fun of you, or they criticize you, or they come down on you because you're uppity, or you're doing better than them, what do?
Well,
go down to their level, right?
When I was 19, I made that decision trying to make ends meet, but it began on a roller coaster ride, and I ended up somewhere that I had nowhere going in the beginning. When I did my 7-year bid, I knew what I was going to do coming out, and you can call that insane. And looking back, I can say that as well, because I knew exactly what I was going to do, but I had a goal. And I was going to set lawyer money aside, bail money, and just-in-case money if I did get caught. But it was the federal incarceration where I started, you know, to rebirth my thinking and change my ways. And I'm out here, and I'm doing it. I'm not worried about what nobody thinks. I had 4 jobs, since I've been out May 2nd of last year. I've been at the halfway house since October 7th of last year. And, you know, I haven't hustled, haven't womanized, not carrying no guns, not doing nothing illegal. So it can be done. And I have a background. So, you know, it's all about if a person wants it. You know, so a person can't tell me it's not jobs out here, because it is. A person can't say, well, because I got a felony, I can't get a job. Yes, you can. But it starts within, and it's not enough employers that's hiring felonies, but felonies, people that got felonies are getting jobs.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. Your book is called Going Hard.
Yes.
And it, from reading the description of it, I'll just read it to the audience. The website is CashmerePublications.com. Am I saying that right, or is it Cashmere?
CashmerePublications.com. You said it correct.
Okay. So the story, the main character's name is Cashmere?
Correct.
And it's his story. He's got a daughter, realizes at the age of 19, a regular job isn't going to cut it. So he begins hustling. In the process, he has another baby on the way. So he decides to go straight and moves to Columbus, Ohio to go to college. But he hooks up with Dirk, who gives him the chance he's been looking for in the streets. Cashmere quits school and goes hard. Cashmere soon realizes the game isn't all that it seems to be. Once him and Dirk have their disputes, all hell breaks loose. Cashmere is used to power, designer clothes, and cars. He's going to maintain it, but any means necessary. Cashmere transforms from schoolboy to capers and bodies. When reading this classic, you'll be in the graphic scenes of Going Hard. So, you know, a little bit based on you, a lot based on. I mean, probably a lot's based on your history, don't you think?
Yeah, majority it is. You know, I just want, when a person reads this novel, it's just putting a person in the character of Cashmere. Because a lot of people get in the drug business for different reasons. And it's no right reason, but I can't say who's right and who's wrong. But those were the reasons why I chose the route I chose.
And I think it's not about judging your reasons. It's about creating a situation or an example so that other people have something to draw on. What's your goal today with with writing the book? Who, is there a specific audience you want to reach? Are you interested in public speaking?
Yes, the youth. My goal is the youth, to let them know that the game in the streets is a delusion. You'll get there and where you want to go, but you're going to pay a consequence. And my consequence was the relationship with my daughters. So I want to, in each chapter is a lesson to be gained. And even for the parents, because it doesn't come with instructions. When that power comes in, some parents can be manipulated on allowing their children to pay rent and buy them cars, and they'd be fascinated by that. And, you know, they get the good part of it, and they go along with it. But when the bad part comes, when the feds come in and raid them, and that car gets snatched away, that house gets snatched away, when that son or daughter goes to prison and, you know, they need food and deodorant and clothing while incarcerated, you know, it does. They don't realize that until that time comes. So it's a learning experience that I would like to share with youth that's going through it, parents that's going through it, because it's no instructions. And I would just like to allow them to see that it's another way. I want people to learn from it, not to glorify it, but to learn from it. It's other routes that character could have took instead of the ones that he took. And I want individuals to learn from that instead of going through the same things that character went through and just learn from it.
Well, I like I said earlier when we talked, you know, I've got some connections and I want to provide platforms for you to, an opportunity to share your message, and we can talk, you know, later today or another day, whenever it's convenient, and some of the ideas I have, because I back this concept wholeheartedly. I think for me, my premise has always been education and awareness, and
right.
And truly awareness and not burying this. Like, you know, one of the issues that I'd brought up previously with the when we were going to promote the other book that's kind of similar in nature is, you know, the parents need to be willing to not have shame for their history and their choices enough that it, you know, a desire to be real with their children so that the children understand that everybody's human and these choices are there. Whatever
right.
choice you decide to make, make it with awareness or conviction. And you're only as sick as your secrets. And I know in my family, in the history of alcoholism and so forth, it wasn't discussed. And, you know, it had ramifications definitely on me, and definitely it had had for the last 100, 200 years on my family, this pattern that genetically waves up and so forth. And then you've got the other side where maybe you don't have the resources and you don't, and you're surrounded by a peer group that's doing things their way, and it's easier to do it the easy way, which is kind of what happened. You know, you had an opportunity. It's like, man, I got to do it.
Right.
I got to do it. And it is what it is. And so if we can give people, I have a parent coach that I work with, Terry Manrique. And, you know, I'd love to get you two together, and we can do more work together, because she's going into the schools and talking to the parents about, you know, consistency and, you know, being consistent with the kids and having communication with the kids. And I don't think people are taught that, you know. My family didn't communicate. We yelled. And so if we weren't yelling, we weren't communicating. So nothing was discussed. Nothing was. It just didn't seem necessarily real. My friends and my other connections were real to me. And yet where I should have learned, does that make sense?
Yes. The parents of today are not exercising that authority over the kids. When I grew up, my mom was strict on us, me and my brother. When we did live in the neighborhood for 7 years, she wouldn't allow us to go outside in the community to just hang out, but she would allow us to go in back of the building where she can keep an eye on us. She would allow us to go on the basketball court. She allowed us to go to the mall and parties and stuff, but she wouldn't allow us to hang out in the neighborhood. So she was preventing us from being a part of that without us even knowing then. It wasn't until I got outside of her roof, being 18, when I started to indulge. So while I was under her roof, you know, she wasn't going for that. And a lot of parents are not, you know, being a parent. You know, they're allowing the child to be the adult of the household and, you know, buying their way around the household because of the status of his money. So, you know, the parents, you know, had to step up out there. They really do.
Well, one thing that came to my attention recently is parents giving their kids prescription drugs. What kind of message is that? And I didn't have that upbringing, and so it's kind of foreign to me, but it's very interesting that what happened now is, you know, the person's daughter took the pills. She had surgery. Her daughter went and filled her prescription and didn't give it to the mom. And so this teenager's running around with a bottle of Vicodin or Oxycontins, I can't remember which, but something. And, you know, I don't know if that would have happened had, and I'm not judging the situation, but I'm just, it makes me curious. Not being a parent, I can't speak 100% on choices, but it makes me curious that if it wasn't, I mean, it's a lot different to hand somebody a sleeping pill or a pain pill versus an Advil, and would the daughter have still made that choice down the way had it not, had she not felt some sort of okayness with that? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm curious about that. That's a whole nother game, like a whole nother perception.
Since my federal incarceration, that's when I discovered this pills epidemic. People on pills a lot out here, so I'm not even in the street no more, so I can't even speak on that aspect. But
yeah, I mean, this is just like a regular family household. I mean,
yeah,
white middle class. You know, it's not, and so that's just, it was just an interesting perspective. You know, just something to throw out there. Valerie, do you have any advice to this, you know, great, you know, new author and so forth that you'd like to share on air?
Does he already have a publisher?
Yes.
Okay. So you've already got something.
Yes, self-published.
I'm sorry? Oh, you
self-published the book.
All right. Only in print?
Yes. Yes, for right now. I'm about to get it on Kindle.
Yeah.
Probably sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you definitely need to do that. You can reach a lot more people. And with kids, with people these days, if you want to reach the kids, you have to get onto a platform that they can download onto, you know, the electronic devices they love so much. All right. So you need to get them, you know, if you want to reach kids and be able to, you know, reach that audience, then you have to reach them through the methods that they use. So getting online would be, you know, is a whole lot easier, and it's easier to sell. It's, you know, all, once you put it up there, it's just available, you know, and you can decide whether you want to leave it on or leave it off. But, you know, you can take it, you can put it up and take it down at any time if you want to. You can, you know, change the content if you want to. But you definitely want to make sure that you reach, if your target audience is really to try to reach young people, you need to reach them through the methods that they'll use. And that's, you know, cell phones and, you know, smartphones and that sort of thing, where they can download the app and just read it on, you know, on their devices. And that's the best way to be able to get a hold of them these days, because everybody, you know, has a, you know, as a smartphone or, you know, something electronic that they can read from. So I definitely advise that soon.
Well, we actually have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring them on and see what their question is. 1 second. Hello, caller.
Hi, I'm just listening in. I'm very interested in what you guys are talking about. So, no questions, just listen in. Good stuff.
Well, what's your name?
I'm Dion.
Where are you calling from? What city?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, how did you find us on the air?
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, did you call in before about your business?
Oh, no. I just like your topic. And I like what you have to talk about. I'm at work, so it kind of helps me pass the time, especially when you have interest in stuff like this.
Well, I really, really appreciate your feedback. I know Valerie and Sel appreciate it. And I posted the websites on our chat room. ValerieDouglasBooks.com and Cashmere, let me go to his website, CashmerePublications.com is Stell's book. And, you know, we appreciate you tuning in. We're here every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We're on Facebook. If you wanted to share some more feedback and ideas about what you liked about our show, we'd love to hear from you.
All right. That sounds awesome. I'll go there now.
Oh, thanks. All right. Thanks, Dion. We appreciate you listening in. We're kind of off the air, but we can still record so people can still hear it and it'll still play back. Valerie, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Nope. I'm pretty much good at this point.
Great. So what about you? Is there anything else you'd like the audience to know about your mission and your vision with the work you're doing today?
I'm available for public speaking when it comes to the youth and parents that don't know what to do and the type of situations that's involved in the book as far as, you know, people selling drugs and incarceration and so forth. I just want people to know that change can happen. They just have to want it. You know, I'm a living example. I'm a testimony. If you want it, you can get it, but it's all on you, and it's a collaboration of the people that are placed around you. This is something that you can't do by yourself, and you have to pay attention to the people that are placed in front of you, because you can miss out on the opportunity of your blessings if you're judgmental or you can't see what's in front of you. So I just want to be helped and help people.
I really appreciate that. And, again, thank you so much for being on the show, Valerie. Always, I appreciate your wisdom and the work you're doing to support writers to make the right decisions, authors to make the right decisions, and really your stance on awareness on what's going on in online publishing. We were talking about publishers that are scamming writers because they're seducing them with these big publishing packages that really lead to nowhere. One aspect we didn't necessarily address, which is my area of expertise, is the PR and the marketing around the book. So, you know, it can be cost-effective in getting your book out there, but, again, it's not going to sell itself. So you do have to take an active role in your business, whatever that business is. If you're a writer, take an active role in promoting your book. So you're doing that. You're starting to realize that it takes a little work to set up that book signing and get the word out. And connecting with people is an easy way to open opportunity. But, you know, even it doesn't have to take a lot of work. No matter if you're an individual or self-employed small business with a couple employees, activity on a daily basis, if you've got a full-time job and this is, you know, your self-employed business is your part-time, it's okay. Just focus a little bit on yourself and your vision and your mission with why you created the business. Define your purpose. And the purpose is, why do I get out of bed in the morning? Why do I do what I do? If I never made a dime doing this, why am I doing it? Is that enough? And I find those people that have a heart-centered business, once they start to have things kind of fall into place and things are starting to open up the doors that you were talking about, then it's a matter of flip that switch and allow the finances to come in. Because you can do heart work and you can make a difference and empower people, and it's okay to make a living at it. It's okay to have your basic needs met so that you can go off and do more good work, as I see it. So if your agenda is just to make money, yeah, you can go out and do that too. We know people that do that. And you know, again, I always say, you know, everybody's like, your prices are so low. And I say, yeah, but I got to wake up tomorrow. I have to live with myself. And, you know, my friends are telling me to raise my prices and so on, and we're looking at collaboration where I have to because I got to pay them and they want to make money. Yet at the same time, I truly want to provide opportunity. So, again, if somebody doesn't have a lot of money, I'll still coach you. Let's just work it out. If you're willing to put in some effort, you still have to invest something in yourself, which is the business, which is you, which might be paying me, it might be paying somebody else. But at the same time, it's going to grow, and you're telling the what I call the universe, you're telling the universe yes. You're saying, yes, I want more. I'm willing to do the work and make the effort, and I'm ready to receive. So I think the message for today is, you know, look at what's in front of you. Don't be afraid to be you. And if you can stand in non-judgment of self, which is practice, right? We have to practice that.
Right.
It's not going to hurt that much when somebody stands in judgment of you, because all judgment is self-judgment. So if somebody's standing in front of you and they're judging you, they're truly just judging a part of themselves. And you're
that,
just the mirror that gets to show them that.
That is true.
So keep doing what you're doing, and you know, I look forward to connecting with you both very soon and doing some more fun stuff out there. And thanks for being on the Entrepreneurial Excellence radio show, where we are focusing on highlighting women in business every fourth Wednesday's Meet the Author, which is today. And again, I'm grateful for both of you guys for the work you've done. So thanks so much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, talk to you guys later. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.